The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we sure do appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin still to come this hour. Dr. Bob Stoll, always a privilege to have him on with his football plays of the weekend. We don't know what we get. Maybe it's college. Maybe it's all college. Maybe it's college and pro. We have no idea. He just comes on. He throws them out at us.
He's had more NFL this year than I would have guessed.
That is true. Though he's had bad luck on this show this year. We've always had great luck on this show. You know, but he'll have great weekends, but his one loss will have been one of the ones he gives out on the show. So I think he's kind of ad-libbing because he's like, let me try to turn, because he's like, you know, he acts like he's not superstitious, but he's totally superstitious.
Right.
So I'll be like, let me throw this out with some pro and college. We still will talk to Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on Major League Baseball. And Kelly and I will give us, we'll give you our football plays, our bets that we've already made for the weekend. Just to reiterate what we've talked about all week long in the National Football League, I have three in pocket for the NFL. And what is your, what's your millions record right now? What are you? 60% did we decide?
Yeah.
Did we figure out that you're 60%?
12 and 8. Does that make sense? No, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would be 60%.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's only...
No. I'm short games, though.
You're short games. Yes, you are. You're very much short.
I'm 60, but I punch up the numbers.
You're hugely short games, by the way, now that I think about it. All right, let's talk some Premier League, though. This gentleman is always kind enough to join us from the heartland, from Topeka, Kansas. It's Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen, from the Expected Value Podcast. And, of course, True Media Networks. And you can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, or follow him on X, as the kids like to say now. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. We got an international break in the soccer world, and now we're getting back into the club season.
International break. Oh, I've got some Premier League questions to ask you because since last we spoke, Man City, what has happened? What has happened?
Yeah. I mean, they've lost a couple games in a row. I mean, this last one was to Arsenal, which, you know, not the end of the world, but they also lost to Wolves before that. But I think beyond that, it's just, I mean, their numbers are still good, but they're missing Kevin De Bruyne, who's injured and out probably at least the rest of the calendar year. It's kind of fuzzy beyond that. And they haven't had him. They lack that cutting edge kind of in the final third. They still have Erling Haaland, of course. They're also without Rodri, one of their best midfielders, the last three games. That's part of it. So I'd like to say, you know, there's a crack for other teams to get in there, but I'm just not convinced there's another like great team sitting there. You know, Liverpool, Arsenal, your next couple choices. You know, Tottenham's at the top of the table, but I'm not sure anybody's buying them as a title contender just yet. So like there's some cracks, but no one else seems ready to jump into those yet.
Oh, I thought you were going to give us something to fire on here. We were like, but you're not buying it. You still think Man City's the team to beat. Tottenham,
I think so.
Yeah, Tottenham and Arsenal, 20 points each. Top of the table, Man City at 18, Liverpool 17, and then Aston Villa and Brighton behind them, 5 and 6, tied for 5th with 16. We're still not even a quarter of the way through the season. I'm sure that's part of the calculus here.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick some other team right now, I'd probably go Liverpool, getting a better price than Arsenal, even though they're a couple spots back. I just think the upside is a little bit higher there for them. It's probably a lower downside too, because things could kind of fall apart like they did a bit at times last year. But yeah, I'm not rushing out to bet. Even Tottenham, I think, is like plus 1200 or something crazy, even though they're in first place. Yeah, just super early right now.
Yeah, the Arsenal valet guy at my building has not been chirping yet, so he might be with you at this point.
All right.
You do have, while all of our sports, pro college football, of course, the baseball postseason going on, you have quietly been betting a Premier League this year. How has it gone so far?
Scuffling a little bit down. I think it's like 3-4% so far this season. You know, need some more 2-1s out of those 1-2s instead. So we're still finding our feet here as well.
All right. No time like the present. Let's give us a 2-1 at minimum here. What do you got?
All right. I'm going to start with Liverpool Everton. It's the early game tomorrow. Under 3.5 goals. We're going against human achievement here. Minus 125. This is one of the fiercest rivalries in England. These stadiums, and this boggles my mind every time I think about it, their stadiums are separated by a mile. This is like,
wow,
you know, two massive stadiums on each side of Central Park or something like that.
It is wild.
It's just a different, obviously a different world in that sense, the way cities are built up and everything.
Paul, how many teams in London again? Like just in the city of London?
It's usually between like 4 and 6. I've counted up this year. And that's in the Premier League. You can probably at least triple that if you want to go down, you know, a couple of divisions. It's yeah. It's wild. If New York could have, you know, 20 teams or something in New York City, it would be kind of a similar thing.
Yeah, I was. This has nothing to do with that, but I was just, for some reason, you know how your phone feeds you certain things? Somehow I got a Polo Grounds thing in New York. Joe Pete and I were talking about this. And the Polo Grounds used to be, I never knew this, I never thought about it, used to be right across from Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. You could walk 20 minutes from Yankee Stadium to the Polo Grounds. And the Polo Grounds, anyway, by the way, the other thing about the Polo Grounds that was fascinating, it ended up with the weirdest dimensions. Like the left and the right field poles were like 280 feet. And then center field, I believe, was 3 bajillion feet away.
That's correct.
Anyway, but those those stadiums, like having that kind of geography is always trippy. But that's the case for Liverpool and Everton.
Yeah, they're across the park from each other, essentially. It's just crazy.
Yeah, not that there was a rivalry, by the way, between the Yankees and the Giants necessarily, by the way. But
right,
go ahead.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So we're going under in this. The last few games between these teams have had a total of 4 goals. They are well apart in the table. You mentioned Liverpool's fourth. Everton's down in 16th. But Everton's been a lot better. They're like fifth and sixth in expected goal difference. So I think this is a more even match that'll be a little tighter than the table would suggest. And a lot of this is about Sean Dyche. He's the Everton manager. He used to manage Burnley. He's managed against Liverpool 12 times in the Premier League between these two clubs. And 10 of those have had 3 or fewer goals. He's very much a button down, defense first. You know, don't give the other team great opportunities. So I think we'll see some of that here. So under 3.5 goals, Liverpool, Everton, -125.
All right. What is next chronologically of these three?
All right. I think if I did my math right, I think it's Brentford and Burnley. So we're going to go with that. Brentford, at Brentford to win, -120 versus Burnley on Saturday. This is kind of a surprising line for me. Burnley's in 18th place, 4 points. That's about right, based on what they've done this year. Brentford's in 15th with only 7 points, which they're underachieving. So you just want to look at goal difference as, you know, just like you look at run difference in baseball, you know, goal difference can kind of be your first next level of stats to look at. Brentford is -1. Burnley is -13. So tells you something about the differences in these teams this year. Brentford's just a lot better. And especially on set pieces, Brentford has the most goals from dead balls last season, the most shots from set pieces this season. And Burnley conceded a lot of goals. Even they were in the championship, the second division last year, conceded a good number of goals on corners. And they're doing the same thing again this year. So I like Brentford just to win this one outright at home. Take the better team at -120.
Take the better team, the Paul Carr handicap of choice.
That's right.
It's rare that we have two unders on a show, but yet we do.
I know. We're going under in Nottingham Forest and Luton Town, under 2.5, -120. This is the old, I don't recommend you watch this game because it's not going to be pretty. These are two teams expected to battle in the relegation zone. Their Forest games, have had the second fewest goals, the fewest expected goals this season, barely over 2 per game. Luton Town games have had the fourth fewest. Neither team tends to take good shots, both bottom five and shot quality overall this season. Luton Town has a bunch of injuries, so I expect they may play this even tighter than usual. They would love to just slip out of here with a 0-0 type of game. So I think under 2.5, I don't think there's going to be a lot of action in this one here.
All right. So in a chronological order, Liverpool, Everton under 3.5 goals, then Brentford to beat Burnley outright, and then Nottingham Forest and Luton Town under 2.5 goals. Always shop around for the price, the juice on all of these. Before you go, you have a documentary recommendation. We always like a documentary recommendation. What do you got?
I know you do. So there's a new documentary about David Beckham on Netflix, very creatively called Beckham. And it's a 4-part documentary, a little over an hour each. And I'm not going to tell you this is like a great piece of cinema, but it's good. It's in the vein of, you know, The Last Dance and the Jeter doc and things like that, where the, you know, the primary athlete has some influence on us. So it's a little bit rosy, but if you're a soccer fan or a casual sports fan, you know, you get to relive some of these great sporting moments over the last 30 years where he has a goal from halfway and Manchester United wins the treble and he kicks a guy at the World Cup and gets a red card and gets all the tabloid heaps of blame for that. And if you're a non-soccer fan, you get the pop culture side where, look, David Beckham married a Spice Girl.
Yes.
Which is basically, you know, English royalty and all the things that go with that. So there's some relationship drama in there. It does paper over like Beckham's affair that he had a little bit.
It mentions it
and just kind of know,
Kelly's into it. That. Right. You had him at a fair. Right,
you ready there. For your upset of the week, Gil?
Yeah.
I've seen the first episode of this.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a docuseries.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Four parts.
Does it mention that his grandfather was a tribesman? Does it mention that? No?
Not the first episode.
I don't recall that part.
The first episode, yeah. Kelly says, mockingly. All right. Well, just curious. I just thought I'd throw that out there. We're claiming him is what I'm saying. Right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it as always. Yeah. And I will check it out for sure.
You bet. Have a good one.
Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter from True Media Networks. And, of course, the Expected Value podcast. Here are my three NFL bets in pocket. Can we do that right now? Yeah. Can I squeeze those in?
Sure.
I feel like we haven't, like, seized on the fact that we are all excited about the NFL bouncing back with exciting football this week. I got three in pocket. Two of these are from guessing lines. Again, first reactions, with the exception of 2 weeks ago. Guessing lines has served us great 5 out of the 6 weeks of this NFL season. The two plays that I have from guessing lines, I'm on the Ravens, -3. You can actually get it for less juice than I got it at right now. Hosting the Detroit Lions, Ravens a lot healthier than they've been. They ought to be 6-0. The Lions have trouble in their own backfield. I think we might have wind here in Baltimore. That's going to only serve the Ravens and not the Lions. So the Ravens -3. That was my first reaction on Monday. I thought that should have been north of 3. I guessed 4. The Broncos was the other one where I was like, listen, I don't love the Broncos. You know how much I'm critical of Sean Payton. But I just couldn't believe that the Packers were, at that time, I want to say they were 2-point favorites. It's less now.
I think that's what it was now. It's like 1 everywhere now. This game's still messing with my head, too.
I haven't made a bet
on it yet, but I agree with you completely.
Yeah, I got the Broncos money line. And my third that I've bet already is in the account. Eagles -2.5. Listen, I had the Dolphins last week -13.5 hosting the Panthers. I've called them a bully, which is Dr. Bob's term, who we'll talk to momentarily. Against the weak teams, I will lay whatever with the Dolphins and did so successfully last week. But against the Eagles, ooh, no. I'll take the Eagles -2.5. Dr. Bob is next. You don't want to miss it. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, Kelly, you know what time of day it is. It's that time where we talk about betting splits.
Splitting bets?
I just wanted to see if I threw you off with how I said it. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving every game, and I know you do, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. Today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. May I just say, we did the Megapod yesterday, the Beating the Book Megapod, which is full immersive NFL Week 7 stuff. Drew Dinsick was our guest. First time Drew was the guest on the show this year, which is strange. I don't usually go this deep into the season without having Drew on. But every guest this year, and we got to get Bob on too, every guest thus far this year has been phenomenal. Like seriously, from Drew to Eric Eager to Aaron Schatz to Steve Fezzik to Rufus Peabody, Wes Reynolds, everybody on that show has been just spectacular this year. I can't recommend it enough.
It's a great group.
It's a great group. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody too, which I feel bad about now.
That's because you're a jerk. We know. Everybody knows
awful,
that. Yeah.
Awful human being who just forgot.
Every time you list people, you always leave one person out.
And that
subconsciously
person,
on purpose.
Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Adam Chernoff, of course, was awesome. Subconsciously on purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, I would never subconsciously on purpose or any other way forget about this guy. He is my buddy from San Francisco. He's a pioneer, or as he likes to call it, or as he likes, he prefers to be called, a legend in sports betting analytics. It is Bob Stoll. Bob Stoll, you can follow him on Twitter at drbobsports or at drbobsports.com. How you doing, Dr. Bob? How's it going, man?
Doing good. You're also a legend, Gil.
Oh, please don't say that. You, sir, are. Good night last night for you, by the way. New Orleans team total over, which seemed, I guess, a little contrarian at the time with some of New Orleans' offensive line troubles, but that got home easy peasy, and then you had James Madison, so good night for you.
Yeah, well, James Madison has been underrated since they joined the FBS a year and a half ago. Like, I just don't understand why people, they're being sort of in the market like an average FBS team, and they're a good team. I mean,
you're on them all the time. You're on them all the time.
I'm on them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not every week. I mean, you know, they're just the matchup has to be right. But normally it is. And they cashed again. And New Orleans is just a team that, you know, moves the ball up and down. The week before, they just moved the ball up and down the field and just couldn't score any points. You're kind of like, yeah, I mean, they had 450 yards or something and scored 13 points or in the team somewhere. I was like, oh, this team just moves the ball and they were just undervalued because they're better offensively than their scoring shows. And last night, even at the beginning of the game, they were moving the ball and weren't scoring points. And I'm like, Jesus, again. But ultimately, they came through and got more than 20 and a half points. So, good night. Good start to the week. Last week was good, too. So,
yeah, that's a total bugaboo for the Saints, though, going into last night's game in the red zone. Derek Carr, 29th in completion percentage, 28th in success rate. They are, and heading into last night, 27th in points per drive because of that red zone struggle. Right. That's all. I mean.
Right. But they do move the ball well. So eventually that there's a lot of just variance in that.
Right. So question I was asking people yesterday. So is that likely in your experience? And maybe this can't be a static answer. But when something like that comes up, say, through 6 weeks, which is really a small sample size of a season, is it likely to regress positively, progress, if you will? Or is it?
Yes, that's why the model was on them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the model likes their offense because they do everything else well, except, you know, the things that are random that really make a difference are third down, you know, EPA, expected points added per play, and red zone scoring. And those things are highly variable. And if a team is good on first and second down, but random and not good on third down, there's random generally.
Is there
the same thing with red zone?
Is there ever a situation with something like that, Bob, which is, you know, red zone being a variant kind of stat like that, or a high variance kind of stat? Is there a marker, or is there a point at some point in the season where you're like, okay, that's just who they are, kind of thing?
Nah, maybe if you get in, you know, to week 13 or 14 and team is still struggling. But, you know, you also have to have a history of that coordinator being relatively bad in those situations or relatively good in those situations. So it's sort of dependent.
Okay.
You know, if you got a guy like, you know, if you have coordinator that historically has been good in the red zone or on par to what they should be and they're struggling so far, then likely that's just random.
Yeah.
So this sort of depends.
Yeah. No, so generally it is something that will regress. This is why I had the alternate season win total under on the Giants, for instance, this year, right? Because their red zone performance, both offensively and defensively last year, was just so ridiculously fortunate.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yep. What do you like this weekend? We'll start wherever you want to go, college or pro. What do you want?
Yeah, we'll go college. I like Mississippi. This is one I released early in the week. Line was 6. It's only gone up to 6.5. So there's still good value on Mississippi here. You know, obviously Mississippi has an elite offense. They've averaged 7 yards per play against teams that are a little bit better than average defensively. So they're really good offensively. Auburn's defense, I think they're seen as like, oh, it's Auburn. They have a good defense, but they're not that good defensively. They've given up 5.7 yards per play, which, and when you compare it to what their opponents would normally gain against an average team, they're only 0.4 yards per play better than an average defense on a national scale, which is not good for an SEC team. So Mississippi should be able to move the ball. In fact, Auburn's defense is about the same level, pretty close to the same level as what Mississippi's faced on average this year. So Mississippi should score in the mid-30s as they normally do in these situations against, you know, mediocre to a little bit better than average defenses. But what people don't recognize about Ole Miss is their defense is really good. They've allowed just 5.3 yards per play. That's not great on its own, but the teams they faced would average 6.2 yards per play against an average defense. And that's adjusted for facing Tulane's backup quarterback. So they're really good defensively. 0.9 yards per play better than average is really good. Now, Auburn's offense, not so good. 5.5 yards per play against teams that would allow 6.0 yards per play to an average team. And they faced 4 decent defenses this year, good average to good defenses. They scored 14 points against what Cal's defense turned out to be an average defense. So they scored 14 points against an average Cal defense. They scored 10 points against Texas A&M, which has a good defense, 20 points against Georgia. That's actually a good effort, and 18 points against an average LSU defense. So they haven't topped 20 points against an average or better defense all season long. And Mississippi's got a good defense. So I think Auburn's offense is going to struggle. Mississippi's offense should do what they normally do, score, you know, get close to 6.5, 7 yards a play, And eventually they're going to win by more than a touchdown, the way that math works out. So Mississippi is a good play at -7 or less.
-7 or less. That's what I was going to be my next question. That's what I figured the answer would be. Okay.
Yeah, and it's -6.5 right now, so still good value there.
Play away. All right, what else?
Yeah, I like Baltimore here against Detroit. I had Baltimore last week. You know, the week before, Baltimore had a bunch of drops against Pittsburgh, and it was an ugly game. And they're like, oh, Lamar Jackson's struggling. Lamar Jackson was not struggling. He had his receivers dropped 7 passes against the Steelers, and 5 of those were like for 10 yards or more down the field. So he could have had a monster game against Pittsburgh, and it would have never been close. And then they become a little bit, you know, underrated offensively because of that, I think. And then last week they did really well. We took them last week and they won in London. This week, I think the situation works well. Detroit's in a bit of a letdown here, coming off 3 straight wins and covers. And I've talked about this angle before. Teams that win and cover the spread 3 weeks in a row and then go on the road against the winning team are not good. 36-89 against the spread, up to +7. So dogs are more than 7 do better, but up to +7, those teams do not do well in that situation. And there's value on Baltimore as well, and a good matchup. Detroit's defense coordinator Aaron Glenn tends to struggle against mobile quarterbacks during his coaching career. They're one of 2 defenses the last 3 years to give up more than 1,000 rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks. And, you know, since 2021, they've given up 5.5 yards per carry to quarterbacks, which ranks 2nd to last in the league. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is a running quarterback, so that matchup works for Jackson. I think he'll have a nice game on the ground. Plus, obviously, he's having a good season throwing if his receivers can catch the ball. And, I think that one game against Pittsburgh was a little bit of an aberration. Also, Baltimore's offensive line is finally healthy. For the first time all year, they had all of their 5 starting offensive linemen healthy for the first time, and they didn't give up a sack last week. So the first time, you know, that he's had all of his guys up in front, and he was kept clean. So I think it's a good situation for Baltimore's offense to continue to get better. And then you've got the Lions have a couple of starters out in the secondary. Mosley and Gardner Johnson both look like they're out. Mark Andrews should have a nice game at the tight end position because he's going up against a backup safety. So I think it's just a good matchup, and the model sees some value on Baltimore, and the situation is a letdown situation for Detroit. So Baltimore -3 now. I released it -2.5, but -3 is good. So I like Baltimore.
All right, Ole Miss and Baltimore. Real quick, Bob, if it's possible, one team answer. The team you have rated higher than conventional wisdom or lower than conventional wisdom that leaps to mind in the NFL are?
Oh, God, I would say Dallas. The model still has Dallas rated higher than they probably should be. I'm a little skeptical. In fact, the model had them as a play against the Chargers.
What about to the bottom? To the worst?
Oh, I don't think there's any super surprises on that. I think Minnesota now without Jefferson. I think the market is not adjusting enough for Jefferson out.
Got to run, Bob. Thank you.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. You know, that field goal stuff was so much fun last week. I'm kind of sad we're not doing it today. There's no field goal schedule?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good?
I need another week or two.
To recover from your injury? I'm glad that Dakota got your injury, man, on footage, on film.
Yeah, he did. I don't think he knew what had happened.
No.
Yeah, I don't think he knew I was hurt.
So, the last thing here. When you see yourself, what is your reaction to you getting hurt on that? Are you like, oh, my God, that's just awful?
No, yeah, it's sad and pathetic and everything you would think it is. But that, you know, like, it was like I was in so much pain in the moment.
Oh,
as you
know.
Were like right there. You
I
saw
know.
Me.
Yeah.
But like, because I think I even asked you on Monday where I was like, did I go down? Like,
you
I don't even
you
remember
never
if I
went
down.
It you
was
never
just
went
grabbed
down.
My leg immediately.
You grabbed it. You could barely move. You're like pulling. Then you walked one foot forward, and then the second leg was like 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
3 o'clock. We wish him a speedy recovery. You're almost there.
Yeah, I'm almost
you're
there.
Almost
I'm
there.
Almost there.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the voice of Kelly Bidlin. This is the voice of Jason Weingartner. Jason Weingarten, pardon me. You can follow him at Spreadopedia. Kind enough to come on this show not once, but twice every week to talk some baseball and beyond with us. Sports betting porn, as Will Hill once dubbed it. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Very good. From under a cloud of smoke, man. Baseball yesterday. The Astros tie it up 2 games apiece in the American League Championship Series. It is Verlander against Montgomery today, with the Astros a slight dog as we look at the price right now. Game five, where, again, we talked about these stats earlier on the show. We got Rangers minus 108, Astros minus 102, so it's even getting closer to just being a coin flip at this point. The Astros can do no wrong on the road, and specifically, they can do no wrong at Globe Life Field, and Dusty Baker's like, I got no answer for you. Do you think there's an answer to this? Do you make anything of it? No, nothing.
Dusty doesn't have an answer. I don't have one either.
What do you like today in this game?
This game, not much. Never a good spot to blow a 2-0 lead in the ALCS. You know, never a spot you want to be in. So, got to really bounce back here. You don't want to lose three straight. Verlander in his first start looked pretty bad. He wasn't getting any swings and misses on his fastball. So, nothing really stands out for me today to want to back him or the Astros. But then I kind of look at the way the Rangers played, and I'm not dying to back them either. You know, I'm probably just going to watch this game. I do like something in the Phillies D-backs game though.
Well, let's get to that one, which is, by the way, I just want to, before we go on to that, A-Rod, who doesn't usually say anything that poignant or that memorable on the broadcast afterwards, he did say that his line last night was a good one, which is the Astros, as weird as this sounds, have to maintain road field advantage with a win tonight, which I thought was very apropos for this series, because that's just how it is. Like, you almost got to hold serve if you're the Astros on the road to get that third win today. Okay, about the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks get on the board yesterday with a come-from-behind 2-1 win to get that series to Phillies 2, Diamondbacks 1. As we play game four tonight at Arizona, game five scheduled for tomorrow. This is a bullpen game for the Diamondbacks. Sanchez going for the Phillies. He will have a short leash as well. Phillies are minus 130. The total, I'm going to guess he's going to play a total here, is 9.5. What's your call?
Yeah, I had the under yesterday. I bet the under again today.
Oh.
Getting 9.5 on a bullpen game, I think, is actually a pretty good deal. A lot of people see bullpen game and they either want to stay away or they want to, you know, immediately bet the over. I see a bullpen game and I'm pretty happy to know that every guy coming out of the pen knows their assignment ahead of time, what they're expected to do, how many guys they're expected to face. It's a lot better in my mind knowing what you have to do than, you know, having a guy come out of the pen expecting to cover multiple innings. Knowing Sanchez is on a short leash also helps me, makes me like the under, because I know he's probably going to only go through the rotation, what, once, maximum two times.
Whose bullpen do you trust more in a situation like this then?
That's the thing. Trust, at this point in the season, like, I don't love Craig Kimbrell. I'm never going to love him.
No.
But, you know, you just kind of cover your eyes and hope he doesn't walk the leadoff batter,
which he did yesterday
in game when he comes in.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
There's only so much you could do at this point, and sucks because you look at the Rangers, you look like Aroldis Chapman. Josh Spores was a guy I used to, when he'd come in AAA games in Oklahoma City, start like pulling my hair out because I knew all my bets on the Dodgers were about to lose. But, you know, you just kind of hope for the best when it's bullpen at this point.
Did you watch the Phillies and the Diamondbacks yesterday? Did you watch that game?
I listened to it on the radio, the XM radio.
There was a situation at the bottom of the seventh. It was already 1-1. The Diamondbacks had runners at first and third. First of all, they had with nobody out. But then it was a double play ball. The infield was in for the Phillies. A 6-4-3 double play where Gurriel did not score from third base, which you never see. And by the way, that did, they overcame that. Another thing that they overcame, including perhaps taking Brandon Pfaadt out a batter too soon. So I just feel like there's a lot of things that the Diamondbacks overcame yesterday. Not that they'll always make base running errors like that, but they got to score like to win this series. Like, do you give them? Do you give them beyond a puncher's chance in this series, I guess is what I'm getting at, because you're not winning this scoring two runs every game.
I mean, they won the first game they had to win yesterday, so see what they do today. You know, get that second win.
Would you bet them on the series price? Let's put it that way.
Would you make
I would
that?
Not bet them on the series price. They're okay. Dog today. So if you want to bet them today, if you want to bet them to win the series, I'd much rather, you know, bet them as a dog today, knowing there's still going to be a series, you know, a dog on the series price tomorrow if they even it up.
Plus 120 on the game today, plus 280 on the series today. What about the Astros and Rangers? Would you make a series play? Now that it's a de facto best of three, with Houston having, I guess, home field advantage, though that doesn't make any sense based on the way they play. The Astros are minus 135. The Rangers are plus 115. Would you make a play here?
I would not lay 115, and I would not take 115 on the Rangers here. I think that's not really that exciting of a price, especially when, you know, you're already back at you know, level here, and you could lay minus 106 or probably even lay a shorter price than 106 with the Rangers if you shop around today. So I'm still on the Rangers myself. Like, I still think they're going to win, but it's the Astros. It's not, yeah, not going to be easy.
No.
They've shown you that you're beatable, and here we are. It's could come down to seven games, honestly.
It very well could. What's the World Series you want to see?
Rangers, Phillies. Is that bet? I mean, Astros.
Is that bets driven? The Rangers, Phillies is through the prism of your bet?
Rangers is my only future. I just think I'd rather watch a Rangers World Series than an Astros World Series, but okay. Financially, it's not much of a difference either way, whoever makes the World Series at this point.
Okay. And if I gave you truth serum right now, who's winning it all?
Oh, probably the Phillies.
Okay.
They came close last year. They brought back most of their pieces that, you know, you need to win a World Series, and just this team's built to win a World Series, you know? Like, you can only come close so many times.
Refresh our memory. What's your favorite football plays of the week? What have you bet?
So this week, NFL, I don't have a bunch of college. I thought college pretty boring this week. I am 2-0 in my last two bets in college I've given out on VSiN, though.
Documented.
But the Wongs this week for NFL, there are several of them I think are worth looking at. Specifically, the Bills taking them down from 8.5 to 2.5. The Broncos taking them from 1.5 to 7.5. And where's the third game? The Seahawks. I have the Seahawks.
Boom, boom, boom.
I have the Seahawks keyed so many times. I'm going to have to bet Arizona.
What could go wrong?
You would be both, Jason.
What could go wrong with having Seahawks -1.5 in like 14 different teams?
14.
Going 0-14, right?
Yeah. But we were talking about this on the Megapod yesterday. Wong teaser legs have been spectacular this year. Spectacular. Like, you can almost blindly do it last week, and they all hit, I believe. You know, and then there was I don't know if you saw this little debate on Twitter, on the gambling Twitter corner of the world, where, like, people were accusing Rufus and Unabated of, like, ruining the teaser market, like, accusing them because they talked... Accusing them because they talked about Wong teasers so much that all the books' prices went up. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm reading this, I'm like... First of all, y'all know how long we've been talking about Wong teasers on this show? No offense, but, like, give me a break on that. Like, they're blaming Rufus for that?
Just bettors in general.
Stop it.
It is. I got to say, it's actually a pretty useful tool. I do have an account.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It makes, like, pricing stuff instantaneous. I don't mind using it when I have to. It's a very useful tool.
Right, but they're not to blame for the market of teaser prices going up.
Yeah. They didn't help anything. It certainly didn't help, but, you know, it's not like anybody in bookmaking didn't have a clue.
That's right. It's not like a news flash for them either. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me. Have a good weekend. I'll be back next week.
Yes.
Hopefully talk about the World Series.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it. Jason Weingarten, everybody. Our football plays. Kelly's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Why don't you sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Before we get to your football plays and talking about all of our thoughts here,
you brought up an interesting point. I thought it was amusing in the break, which is, and I didn't see this. Luka Doncic was watching the game last night.
At some point during the Rangers Astros game last night, they cut to, it was both Luka and Dirk, and this is me watching a baseball game, right? So Luka's up in the box.
Yeah.
And then they cut to Dirk. Dirk's at the game too, but he's down like field level. And then I don't know why I even thought this at
Luka's
first.
Wearing full Rangers gear.
They're both in full Rangers gear, okay? Uh-huh. My first thought, Gil, was, wait, why aren't Luka and Dirk sitting together? Oh. Like, I don't know why they should be. I don't know why my brain they have to attend a baseball game together.
Right.
But like, I don't know. It still feels like two Mavericks legends. And yeah. It's like one's there, one's all the way over there. But the Rangers did put out a video with both them together. So at some point they were hanging out. What I was telling you during the break was, what do you think it's like to be like a 22-year-old, Slovenian kid like Luka is going to a baseball game where I'm guessing he doesn't know a lot of the rules? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Luka Doncic is a huge baseball fan. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But like, how long do you think you could last? Let's say in a cricket match, right, where you don't know anything about cricket. How long do you think you could last in a cricket match of, you know, in the standing that the ALCS is?
Yeah. This is why I don't want to buy the. This is why I don't want to buy the F1 ticket, right? The Formula One, because I'm gonna be like, well, that was great. 5 minutes into it, that was awesome.
I just feel like if I was Luke, I would be there. Like the fanfare is awesome, right? The excitement has to be contagious. But after a few innings, I'm like, I have no idea what's going on.
Well, the reason that this resonates with me so much is I think I've told this story many times before on the show, or years ago I did. Oh, when my dad was. He became a Skins fan because of his kid, me, and he grew to love football. But football is, okay, four chances to go 10 yards. You can figure that out if you watch it. Basketball is like any sport where there's a goal of some kind on either side, whether it's hockey, whether it's handball, you name the sport, right? That's our standard sport. There's a goal on each side and one team's trying to put it in the other person's goal. Baseball, have you ever tried explaining baseball to someone who does not know baseball?
Yep, one time.
There are rules within rules within rules. You can watch 1,000 baseball games. It's almost, my dad would watch baseball on TV and he would never understand. I don't understand it. And finally, we took him to a Baltimore Orioles game and he kept shouting. He's like, I finally get it. I see the whole field, right? This was his big revelation. We're like, oh yeah, you don't see the whole baseball field on a baseball broadcast at any point. But like, if you try to explain it, you're like, okay, so he can score on that fly ball if he tags up on third and goes, oh, wait, you just say that's an out. Yeah, but if he tags, then he can score. Oh, that's the infield fly rule, so it's already an out. What do you mean it's already? Oh, it's just a rule. He dropped strike three. I thought you said that's an out. It's strike three. Well, yeah, but then when the base is empty, he can run. It's impossible. Like, it's just ridiculous to try to explain baseball to somebody. So that is like Luka watching that might have. But I think he's been in the States long enough where he's like, oh, okay, I get this.
Well, and that's why I didn't bring up Dirk, right? Like Dirk, I'm, sorry, Dirk, but like you're American at this point. You've been around. Like I see you in Dallas all the time. Like you're a Texan. You're not even American. You're Texan.
I just love the thought of a confused Luka Doncic just bearing it for 9 innings. Like, oh God, get me out of here. All right. So we gave my picks that I have in pocket. I'm on the Ravens. -3. I am on the Broncos just because I just think the wrong team is favored there. Not that I'm a huge Broncos guy. No, I'm not watching a play of it if I don't have to. And then I'm on the Eagles -2.5, which I didn't say much about other than I just think the Dolphins are what Dr. Bob coins as a bully. He usually refers to this in college basketball or college football. But the Dolphins do strike me as that team, and I was no problem laying the 13.5 last week against Carolina. They will beat up on lesser opponents. I think the Eagles, with their long sustained drives, are the perfect team. And I get it, they lost to the Jets, but that was a stupid error at the end when Hurts threw the pick. It shouldn't have been thrown at all. Those long sustained drives will keep the ball away from the opposing offense. And I think the Eagles can do that enough that laying 2.5, quite frankly, is a good bet. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is 3 well before game time, if not later today.
Yeah, I don't know if that would shock me either. That's going to be a real... I do think that is a public versus pro situation for sure. Because, I mean, you know, average Joe, all they've seen is Dolphins putting up a ton of points every single week, right? Like, I do think they're going to attract some money. I do have them tied into a teaser. big teaser week for me as well. I have, so what, I had teasers with the Bills. Bills with legs on the Chargers earlier this week and the Jags last night. So I have the Bills to close out two teasers already. And then I have the Bills and the Dolphins in a six-pointer this week that I bet earlier in the week. I don't disagree with anything you just said, Gil. I think there's a chance, though, that we see this Eagles team or the Dolphins keep things close enough against an Eagles team that really haven't been blowing out a ton of teams, right? They have been controlling it. Like you said, they get up. They're able to kind of squeeze the life out of them. But can they cover 8.5 points? I'm not so sure about that. I don't know if they're going to be able to completely slow down this offense or to keep them far enough away and by more than one possession. So do like that in a teaser. The one I have with the Seahawks right now, I don't know that I'm done, though, as we kind of joked with Jason. I don't know that I'm done with Seahawks legs yet. Seahawks and Lions is what I did.
Oh, no.
Same kind of thing. I teased up the Lions. This is kind of same kind of thing. Do I think the Ravens could win that game? Yeah. I don't know if I see them winning by double digits or multiple scores. I think this Lions offense, they're going to have to be pass dependent. This running back injury situation is pretty bad. They're gonna have to lean on Goff in this passing game. I think they'll be able to keep things close and cover that 8.5. And then Bob brought it up. You kind of brought it up. I love Lamar Jackson over his rushing prop this week. Bob talked about Aaron Glenn and how they have struggled a little bit against running quarterbacks. You brought up the weather. This could be a weather game. I think if it is windy out there, you're going to see Lamar tuck and run a little bit more. So I think that's one of those props where I think there's multiple paths of getting it home, right? Yep. So I do like that. That's everything. So that's everything I have going into the weekend that hasn't already been tied into.
And by the way, I said, because we had that Chargers Lions thing this week earlier when we were talking about it, and I was like, well, if the Lions beat the Ravens, I'll obviously think differently of them. There's no shame if they lose this game either.
No shame whatsoever.
It's not gonna make me think they're terrible or anything. Mm-hmm. They're still, to me, right outside of the top 10 of the NFL. Bob said again earlier this week he had the Lions 8th and the Chargers 12th in his power rankings. My teaser, as I mentioned earlier in this week, though I didn't have it on the graphic there, is Giants-Broncos. I don't think the Commanders beat anybody by double digits. So I think the Giants are the leg there for me. If I'm a Washington fan or backer, I'm very nervous about that game.
What's your favorite teaser leg of this week? Not named Seattle.
The Giants or the Broncos.
Which
two home
you're
dogs.
Not helping me out here. Okay. I'm trying to build one more teaser with the Seahawks, but I can't figure.
I'll say the Giants.
Okay.
I'll say the Giants.
I think I'm going to end up on the Broncos. I think you are dead on about that number. Like I don't get that number. I just can't. I'm just not confident.
Like if Green Bay wins, it wouldn't be if Green Bay won, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. But I just don't understand the justification for that. And I am not a Broncos guy, as you know.
Right? No, I hear you.
But it's like, really? Why would Green Bay? Because Jordan Love. I said this on the Megapod. I've made a lot of pre-flop bets this year. Like 5 pre-flop bets in the NFL this year. 4 of which, one has already cashed. The Panthers will last win this. 3 of the other 4, Giants alternate season win total under, Washington season win total over, Eberflus first coach fired, are either looking great or are plausible bets. Mm-hmm. The one that's awful is Matt LaFleur to be coach of the year. Like, Jordan Love is not... Remember my line on Jordan Love before the season was, why is everybody convinced he's going to stink? He's been holding a clipboard for 3 years under the same quarterback, under the same system. You're supposed to be good after that.
Yeah.
He's not good.
I think there's still some runway that LaFleur bet. I don't think that LaFleur bet's dead.
I don't know if it's
yet.
Dead. But
I don't think it's dead.
Let's put it this way. It's checking into its hospital room.
Well, I think with this game this weekend, though, the one thing to keep in mind, too, is for people, like, remember what we saw with this Raiders-Packers game. Okay, so the Raiders beat the Packers in that game when they were here in Vegas. And you're talking about, if you want to talk home field, home field advantage, that was a game that was dominated by Packers fans.
Yeah.
And now you're going into a road game where you are a true road team. This is a true road team heading into Mile High Stadium. So I'm with you, man. I think I've got it tied to Broncos.
Yeah.
I'm with you. That line doesn't make sense to me.
Well, we've done all we can do. I really hope some of these MVP and Offensive Rookie of the Year bets that I have, or Offensive Player of the Year bets, advance as well. That Tyreek Hill MVP bet that I have also, I am that wave is growing bigger and bigger as the weeks go on to me, because no one else is standing out. And I think as he accumulates stats, that's huge. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.